said he's going back.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thank you, Gladys. Thank you, Pips. It's an interesting topic today. In an effort to increase passenger rail use and decrease congestion on Pennsylvania's roads, PennDOT announced last week they'd be discounting tickets for Amtrak rides across the Commonwealth. Pittsburgh was added to the network between Harrisburg, Lancaster, Philadelphia, and New York in what's being called Pennsylvania trips by train. Will this encourage Pittsburgh travelers to jump on board? We're continuing our look at the future of train travel in Western Pennsylvania with Melissa Daniels. She's transportation writer for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Melissa Daniels, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
How does the Amtrak PennDOT arrangement work? I think a lot of people may not realize that that there is this cooperative agreement in which they have to basically work together on these railroad issues.
Sure, yeah. That dates back to some federal decisions that were made back in 2008. And while Amtrak owns, its trains, and while Amtrak handles sort of the infrastructure side of the operations, PennDOT is responsible for paying for much of the system. So that means the more passengers that PennDOT is able to ride the system, the lower the cost is for PennDOT to maintain it. What we have here is sort of a co-working relationship, and you'll notice that if you are trying to book something through the trips by train, for example, that's a PennDOT program and an incentive that they've set up, but it links you directly to the Amtrak site to book tickets. So even just from the user experience, you can see that you have multiple agencies taking care of this system.
And what's PennDOT's primary interest in all this? Certainly congestion is one aspect of it, right?
Sure, yeah. I mean, for PennDOT to have passenger rail, I mean, from one side, you can look at it as it's something else they have to pay for, right? And something else they have to maintain. But passenger rail in this state is significant. We have about 6.1 million passengers, traveling the system a year. So it's something that the citizens of Pennsylvania are obviously using. And it's something that the citizens, as we've just heard from your previous guest, really kind of demand in some way. It's something there's an interest in. Because Philadelphia has 30th Street Station, Pennsylvania is sort of responsible for a key part in the Amtrak network as well. That station is the third busiest in the country.
And what do industry analysts think? And I know that this is a relatively new development, and I'm not sure how much you've been able to really look into about this, but what do the industry watchers think of the approach to attracting more riders with this reduced fare opportunity for people?
We'll see. I mean, I think the glass half full perspective on that is something that, Lucinda and Mark were sort of gearing towards is, if you can get people to ride it, that's going to be good for the visibility of the whole system. And I think that's sort of where we are with a development like that.
And how are they marketing to people? We certainly heard Mark and Lucinda talking about how if you don't have to drive, you're freed up to do all sorts of stuff. You can do work. The trains have Wi-Fi. You can read, you can relax, you can do whatever. It's a less stressful experience than driving might be. Is that part of the marketing? What else do they use as a way to get people to come on? This is a great way to travel.
Yeah, you're going to see some different incentives that they've managed to secure with different businesses and nonprofits and entertainment and tourism entities in some of these locations. For example, someone who were to book the new trip to Pittsburgh, you're going to have buy one, get one 40% off ticket situation. And I think it also comes with like a free Uber ride. Right. So that means if you're coming from Harrisburg to Pittsburgh and you land downtown, you can take an Uber to your hotel, downtown or in the Strip or wherever you're going. Things like that are part of the every excursion deal in the city. So it's sort of like you can have these sort of extra deals if you choose to do the trip.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is Melissa Daniels, who covers transportation for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. If you want to join the conversation, if you have a comment or question, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. Melissa, we were talking about how PennDOT, their interest in this is to reduce congestion on the turnpike and other state roads. And But there's also an environmental component to this, right? Isn't train travel more environmentally friendly?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's something that both passenger and freight rail companies are sure to let you know of, just as far as how many kind of fuel savings you get. Recently, I did some reporting on CSX opening a multimodal rail terminal here in McKees Rocks. And, you know, they were saying that I think it's about four times more environmentally friendly to have all of that freight that you would otherwise be putting on a truck on an interstate into a train.
And there's a lot of emphasis being placed on the new transportation bill that has just been passed. Lawmakers are wanting to separate the budget for routes along the popular Northeast Corridor from the rest of the network. Why would they want to do this, and is this a viable plan?
You know, that's a big topic, and that's a big question. I think we're going to have a lot of FRA hearings about the Northeast Corridor coming up. I think there's just some announced either for this month or next month. You know, doing something like that, I think you start to... There's probably going to be some territorial issues, right? Because you have so many different states involved who are very protective of their lines, who perhaps, like Pennsylvania, are making their own investments in it. So anytime you want to start separating out who's responsible for what, it's going to come down to who's going to pay for what.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation about train travel. And we'd like to hear from you with your ideas, your questions, your comments, and your experiences riding the rails, if you have. Recently, I remember traveling, Melissa, from Connecticut to Boston years ago on the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend, which is really not a great day to travel on just about any means of transportation. But that's what the schedule dictated. Had to be back at school the next day. So I remember having to stand for a lot of the ride on an Amtrak train because there weren't enough seats. So here's Amtrak trying to stir up all this demand. Once more people start riding the rails, are they capable of handling high demand?
Gosh, you know, that's an interesting question. And it sort of dovetails with what we heard Mark and Lucinda talking about earlier about wanting to add extra trains in a way, right? You know, Amtrak is only going to have at this moment so many trains to go around. And if they're adding trains, they're going to want to make sure that they have ones that are able to go out there. And it's the kind of thing where, you know, what comes first, the demand or the resources? If there were the demand for all these passengers, in theory, Amtrak could figure out how to get more trains there, right? But to keep people from having to stand.
Right. And so I'm getting the feeling that Amtrak will take a wait and see approach. I mean, this is just my assumption, but that they're going to wait to see if the demand is there before they adjust to it.
Well, It is sort of a federal entity of some kind, so I think your assumption there is probably fairly correct. They tend to not necessarily have a crystal ball about those kinds of things, right? So it is kind of wait and see.
412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Kelly in Bloomfield. Hi, Kelly. You're on with Melissa Daniels.
Hi. I wanted to know, you mentioned that there were more than a million riders. And I'm assuming that's from Pennsylvania. And my question is, how many of those really are from the Pittsburgh area? Because I'm going to assume that the majority is from Philly going into New York.
Hey, that's a great question. We have supposedly 6.1 million passengers who used Amtrak in Pennsylvania this year. And that's the most recent numbers. And that's up 1.6% from last year. So overall, we have this growth. Pittsburgh specifically, though, is only responsible for about 150,000 of those passengers. So it is like, you know, it's hardly in the top five of busiest stations, because 30th Street Station in Philadelphia alone is responsible for 4.1 million passengers. So hopefully that's some context for you.
All right. Thank you, Kelly. Let's go to Eric in Monongahela. Hi, Eric. You're on with Melissa.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. You know, I lived in Manhattan and Baltimore for combined for 25 years, and I used the train a ton for business as well as for pleasure. It was, on the East Coast, a very convenient mode of transportation, although it was not a cheap mode of transportation. Now that I'm back in the Pittsburgh area, I do use it to visit Baltimore and Pittsburgh quite a bit. And it has become, again, double the cost and much less convenient than maybe the Megabus is and the Greyhound is, who are not as comfortable but do offer a full schedule of transportation between between the cities, and the lines that I see for those buses every single time are long, long lines that sometimes wrap around the convention center corner because people have found that they're less than half the cost and are very convenient. And it's a shame that Amtrak has kind of taken itself out of that market because it is a more comfortable mode of transportation. Hmm. And I'll just listen to the comments.
All right. Thank you, Eric. We're getting a little short on time, Melissa, but what about what Eric had to say?
Well, I think that just circles back to what we're looking for, what we can look to see possibly happening in the future, which is whether or not we're going to have more options for train travel out of Pittsburgh that would maybe be more convenient for riders.
We have Becky from Upper St. Clair, who couldn't stay on the line but left her question for us, which is, or her comment. She wanted to point out one of the problems she says with Amtrak coming into Pittsburgh is that it is almost always late.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any schedules on that to tell you about the arrival times and how their track record is, but certainly something worth looking into.
What you're saying, Melissa, is you can't make the trains run on time. All right, we're literally down to like 10 seconds here, but is there talk of connecting Pittsburgh to the Midwest? Like if I want to go to Chicago, how do I even do? We're always looking east. What about west?
Whoa, that's dreaming big, and that's something that I think you'd have to look to the private sector maybe to start weighing in on, and that's a topic for another show.
All right, well, this has been a good start to the discussion of that topic. Melissa Daniels is a transportation reporter at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Melissa, great thanks. Great having you here.
Thank you, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. Tomorrow on the program, Governor Wolf is with us to talk about, you guessed it, the budget. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.